Amazon has bought Whole Foods. Yeah. Whole Foods drone delivery? Maybe. Lyft is going all electric whenever it does get around to having self-driving cars. And Apple is going to take on Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix, everybody in the streaming video space with a couple of new key hires. And we're also going to talk about the best and worst of E3. All that and more on Tech News Today, right now.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1791, recorded Friday, June 16th, 2017.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TNT.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we tell you everything you need to know about technology that happened today. I am Megan Maroney.
And I am Nathan Olivatis-Giles.
Jason is not sick again. Don't worry. He has not relapsed. He's camping. So
he's on a camping trip.
He's well.
Yeah,
so
he's good. He's good.
Shall we get to the news?
Let's do it.
It was a purchase heard around the world, or at least heard around the grocery aisles. Amazon is buying Whole Foods for $13.4 billion. That's like more than I spend on Whole Foods for the entire month.
For an entire lifetime.
I don't know. I have an addiction.
You spend a lot of Whole Foods. I mean, the grapes are like $8.
Yeah,
sorry. I'll stop interrupting you.
The deal caused a quick sell-off of grocery store and shopping center stocks on Wall Street. According to Amazon, Whole Foods will continue to operate stores under the Whole Foods Market brand, and CEO John McKay will remain at the helm. With the purchase of Whole Foods, Amazon also acquires a contract with Instacart, the food delivery service that has made a name for itself in trying to fight against the digital sprawl of Amazon. Instacart has 4 years left on the contract it signed with Whole Foods.
Ooh, these next 4 years are going to be so awkward, right?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, man. This is amazing. I've loved the internet's reaction and tech journalism's reaction. It's like, are they just going to like gut all the stores and turn them into like, you know, drone warehouses? Are they just going to like, you know, shut everything down, you know, or is this going to, you know, why is Jeff Bezos obsessed with groceries, blah, blah, blah? You know, just all the different, you know, places your mind goes in trying to determine, like, what does this mean for everything? But it's a really interesting move. And in fact, I don't know what the stocks look like right now, but looking at them about a half hour ago, the stock actually jumped up more than the purchase was. And so people were arguing that Jeff Bezos somehow got this for free. Which is just hilarious to you.
Probably, yeah. I think there's so many ways to go with this story. Is it an offensive move, or is it a defensive move? Because, I mean, this is brick and mortar. Like, they're moving into brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And I guess that we still need brick and mortar, which is good. People still want to squeeze the peaches and see if they're, you know, not bruised. I guess you wouldn't want to squeeze your peach. What do you squeeze? Avocados.
I guess. There you go.
Yeah, they still want to squeeze their avocados. And so, yeah, they have to survive. They have to have stores. And, I mean, buying Whole Foods, if they do, as I also would like to imagine that they're going to rip out all the Whole Foods and put in drone warehouses. I really like that idea. I mean, these drone warehouses are going to be in really nice neighborhoods where people are willing to pay $85 per avocado or whatever it is.
Well, that's a really good point, because this isn't Safeway. This isn't your traditional grocery store chain. This isn't an upscale organic, specialty food kind of store. So, you know, this is a smaller grocery store chain than some of the more traditional, regular priced grocery store chains. But it's a really interesting move. It gets them into the retail space, but without maybe some of the baggage that they would have if they, say, bought like a Macy's, or if they bought, you know, some kind of bigger chain like that that's struggling a little bit more. And if they ever decide to convert some of those things, as you mentioned, they're in those kind of urban cores. They're generally in neighborhoods that have higher income levels, and places that, you know, where they would want to be, even if the Whole Foods store didn't exist there. Patrick, who's taking a Burke's spot today, says Apple should counter by buying Target, which would be insane. The internet also mentioned, I love it, there was like a TechCrunch headline. It said, Amazon wants to be Walmart before Walmart can get to being Amazon. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, Walmart's trying to get on the online space and all this stuff. And now Apple buying Target. I mean, just my mind's going to be blown by the end of this episode.
I did feel like that was a good headline, but I felt like it was sort of a ripoff of a headline I saw on Business Insider after WWDC, which was that Apple is trying to become Microsoft before Microsoft can become Apple. So
nobody wants to be who they are. Everyone just wants to be the other cool kids.
It's true. It's like
across the table. Yeah, or whatever it is.
Exactly. Right? So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised now that they announced that Amazon Dash wand. Uh-huh. We talked about that. I think it was yesterday. It might have been 2 days ago. I have yet to order one, though, although I want one because it's free. Mm-hmm. Where you just, you know, you can tell it what you want to order. You can, you know, slide it over your, you know, whatever is in your grocery, is in your refrigerator, and then it'll automatically order that again for you. So, yeah, I do think that Whole Foods will survive and appear to look exactly as we have always, you know, imagined that, you know, always as it has been, as Twitch and Audible and Goodreads and all the many other places that Amazon has bought and sort of left alone.
Yeah, I mean, I like this move because, you know, as all of these companies, Microsoft, Amazon, you know, Walmart, Apple, everybody, Facebook, They're all growing and looking to expand their businesses. If you're a publicly traded company, you want to create new revenue streams and show growth, right? That's what keeps shareholders happy. That's what signals that the business isn't done growing and isn't matured and isn't over, essentially. This makes sense for Amazon because at its core, Amazon is a company that sells you things. And all of the Echo products are designed to get you to buy different things, to get you to buy new things, and to get you to buy from them. So they're buying what is essentially, you know, a grocery retail business. That makes sense for Amazon in ways that if Microsoft bought Whole Foods or if Apple bought Whole Foods or if, you know, whoever else, you'd be like scratching your head, like, how does that fit? But for what Amazon is and adding tech layers over the top of existing behaviors that we have, like, this makes a ton of sense. Well, on July 6th, 2016, Diamond Reynolds live streamed on Facebook Live the death of her fiance, Philando Castile. We won't show you the video right now because it is a video of a man bleeding to death in the driver's seat of his own car with his fiance sitting in the passenger seat and their baby daughter in the back seat. You can still find that video on the internet if you haven't seen it already. Castile was shot as he was reaching for his driver's license. The officer who fatally shot him, Geronimo Yanez, said he thought Castile was reaching for a gun. After 5 days of jury deliberations, Yanez, the Minnesota police officer that shot and killed Castile, was acquitted Friday on charges of second-degree manslaughter and endangering safety by discharging a firearm in the shooting. You might be wondering why we're talking about this here on Tech News Today. Well, I'll tell you why. Technology is a tool. Smartphone cameras and apps like Facebook and Twitter have sparked a much-needed public dialogue on police brutality, specifically because people have shared videos like the one at the center of this case online. But like any tools, live streaming and social media are what we as people make of them. And so far, a disproportionate and disturbing number of Black people die at the hands of law enforcement across the United States. So far, technology doesn't seem to be providing a solution to this ongoing problem. Now, you could look at this and say, is this tech news? Is it not? Through my eyes, this is because this ongoing public dialogue that is happening because of incidents like this is taking place mostly on social media, and these videos are being shared through applications like Facebook and like Twitter. And so tech is at the center of this dialogue. What we haven't seen is technology enabling solutions, enabling things that are bringing these numbers down, that are creating different relationships between police and different communities, especially communities of color, that are addressing some of these different issues. But given that we, you know, doing some research, we haven't really seen any situations where the outcome is different than this, as far as like acquittals and things like that in court decisions. But here we are, and a lot of folks on the internet today are kind of asking themselves, maybe feeling a bit disparaged, a bit like, what's the point of all this? And I think it's important. I think the sharing of these sorts of videos online, even though that's not exactly what Facebook built the tool for, in this case, is important, and I hope that it continues. We'll see where this dialogue goes and what it leads to in terms of tangible changes inside of our communities, inside of law enforcement agencies. But so far, it does feel like more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good talk about this before. It's like, you know lots of police officers, your brother's a firefighter, you're not coming down on this one side or the other of this, but just talking about it. We got to talk about it and not just let it go by until the next story happens, right? And I mean, I would argue also that the other tech angle here is that I think technology is making us spend less time looking each other in the eye and having conversations and more time looking at our devices, and we're getting less used to what it is to interact, people's body language.
Yeah.
And I think that has everything to do with situations like this that happen in the car. I mean, Castile did the right thing. He was a registered gun owner and he said, I have a gun in the car. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. I have a gun in the car. I'm telling you this. And then that made the police officer afraid, and it was a perceived threat where none existed. Then he was reaching for his wallet. And so what I think is that the less time we spend face to face, the more we're unable to understand situations when we're in person. And they're going to continue to lead to situations like this. I mean, because we're seeing more live streamed police shootings doesn't mean there are more live streamed police shootings. They've been happening for a really long time.
Yeah.
We don't know how many. There's no standard for reporting police shooting.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no national database that keeps track of these sorts of things.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have to go on about this. If you are interested in this, if you ever listen to Radiolab, great podcast. They have two episodes devoted to this, Shots Fired Part 1 and Part 2. It's really a great listen. They really go into the details of, what happens, why police officers shoot. They talk to a lot of the mothers of people, of black men who were shot. It's really fascinating. Good listen.
Yeah, Radiolab always does good stuff, and that's some important work on their part. I think it's also important. I think we should be taking part in these dialogues online. If you have strong feelings one way or the other, speak your piece. Try and keep an open mind and listen to those who might have a different perspective and disagree with you. But at the same time, I think there's an opportunity for some self-reflection in all of this here. Personally, I've had guns drawn at me by police officers when I've been pulled over while driving my car in the past. In high school and in college, I've had lots of run-ins with police in similar situations. Thankfully, I've never been shot, and obviously haven't been killed. But the first time I was pulled over by a police officer, I was in middle school and I was riding my bicycle the wrong way on the sidewalk. There are lots of different situations. Now, some of those situations I deserve to be pulled over, and in others, I think it was frankly harassment from my perspective, right? I got friends who are police officers and who are sheriff's deputies in both Arizona and California. And, I think the reason why I think there's an opportunity here is because in thinking about these things and having these conversations online, hopefully a respectful dialogue, think about what it's like to be that officer. What it's like to be that, that father in that driver's seat who's in that situation. And ask yourself, what are you afraid of? What are your biases? Who do you like? Who do you not like? Who do you hate? There's so many different ways to be thinking about these things. But if there are situations where you might say, I would be afraid of someone because of the color of their skin or whatever, I'm intimidated by that and that situation, challenge yourself on challenging those fears and those biases and surrounding yourself with people who may not look like you or come from where you come from or whatever it might be. There are opportunities there too. The reason I bring that up is because this online dialogue is somewhat for naught if there are no real world consequences in a positive way, hopefully, right? We're seeing that, like you said, this stuff's been happening for a long time. Now we have online documentation of it and we have that conversation that's happening. But hopefully this will lead to some meaningful positive change in the real world.
A new startup called MindStrong wants to use your cell phone to diagnose mental health issues. The CEO of the company says that all other health conditions have objective, reproducible ways to measure wellness, but mental health has always been subjective. Patient-reported or clinician reported. BuzzFeed reports that an executive from Alphabet's life sciences division called Verily has recently left the Googleplex to work for Mindstrong. We don't know much about the startup aside from the fact that it aims to combine neuroscience, oncology, and technology to create objective measures for mental health conditions. They also plan to use the device we're carrying around in our pockets all the time to deliver real-time, continuous digital biomarkers of mood and cognition to predict mental health disorders. So I feel two things on this. I anything that can help diagnose and possibly help any kind of mental disorder is great. The idea that someone would be tracking my mental health based on my iPhone that I carry in my pocket seems a little disturbing. But I guess cell phones, they record your processing speed and the mm-hmm. actions that they could, so it could work on memory, executive function, your attention. So they've received $14 million in funding so far. And Verily, the life sciences, used to be Google Life Sciences, they are doing a similar thing. They have 500 employees, and Mindstrong has 14 employees.
Yeah, this is a really interesting move for this executive, and just learning about this company in general. It's not a company that I had really heard about before. And, you know, what I love about it is it's really easy to look at a smartphone or a tablet or anything and just say, hey, the innovation there is done, right? They all look the same. The phone just gets faster or whatever, all these sorts of things. And here we see someone who's saying, okay, what can we do with the stuff that you already have in your pocket to do something that sounds futuristic and far off and like, wow, kind of mind-blowing. Normally, when you hear about these sorts of startups, they're like, oh, well, we're going to develop a technology for like sensors that don't exist yet, and or we're going to develop like the nodes that are going to go into your brain and whatever, this stuff that seems so far sci-fi. But here's some kind of sci-fi-ish ideas with a device that you already have. And really, when it comes down to it, the folks who are making the devices that we already have on us, that it's easy to look at it year after year and say, you know, phones, they're all the same. The innovation, the excitement is happening from these developers, these outside developers, these, you know, the imagination of apps. And it's really, really interesting. You got to give a lot of trust to that company if you're willing to let them have that information on you, right? And you know, Google is one of those companies that asks a tremendous amount of us, and their Verily division focusing on health would do even more so. And now this former Google executive is going over to Mindstrong. So nonetheless, you know, an unproven company doesn't have the reputation of something like a Google, but is going to be making a similar ask, which is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the way Apple is headed towards this seems a little more comfortable for me. They have Health Kit. And so, you know, it's all opt-in. It's all, yeah. Okay, if you want to participate in this, you know, heart study or, you know, what have you, then you can opt in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great. It's great research because it really is a device that we have on us all the time. I think more what they're doing is really patient feedback as well so far. Yeah. They're not just monitoring us to diagnose all our diseases.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of this game that I played on the Nintendo 3DS, or I guess at that time it was just the DS Lite or whatever. It was called Brain Age. And it was just like every day it was like little math problems or, you know, like recognize the color or match the combinations, whatever. And it was just kind of like sold as like a brain exercise game. And, you know, whether or not it had any medical or scientific value, I don't know. But it was a lot of fun to play. And just kind of a great way to start off your day and feel like you're you know, getting after it. But it would track your reaction times as you played it. And it was so much fun. And I did kind of think, man, you know, if someday there could be like some sort of data behind this to see if this is actually worth anything or not. But this is one of the first things I thought about when I was coming across that story as you shared it with me. Hmm. Really fascinating. Well, Lyft says that someday, when it does shift over to self-driving cars instead of running a service with humans behind the wheel, those cars will be electric, and the electricity for those cars will come from 100% renewable power sources. Lyft's goal is to provide 1 billion rides per year using electric self-driving cars by 2025. That's not very far away, but Lyft has already begun working toward this goal. Recently, Lyft announced that it was partnering with Newtonomy, a self-driving startup, to deploy some autonomous electric cars in Boston later this year for public testing. What do you think? Is this a bit too ambitious of a goal? I mean, you know, we don't, Tesla's got, you know, some self-driving features, and a lot of like Lexuses and Infinities can park themselves, but we're pretty far away from having a lot of autonomous vehicles and really any fully autonomous vehicles as an option, you know, when you go to pick something up, when you buy a new car.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I'm all for ambitious goals.
Yeah. got to dream it to be it.
Yes, exactly. yes. Fake it till you make it. That's what Lyft's goal should be. But I mean, I think, yes, electric cars are more, I think most self-driving cars are going to be electric, and not just because it's better for the environment, but I think Sam Abul Al-Samid, he comes on to talk about cars a lot. He says autonomous cars may need as much as 4 kilowatts for the steering at peak load, so they'll need to be electric. They'll require more electricity. So, I think Lyft will also solve this through ride sharing. The idea is that, you know, part of why you don't ever earn back, you know, you're like, oh, buy an electric car because, you know, it costs more, but then you'll earn it back with gas. And, you know, that's a hard sell. But if your car is always, if you're sharing a car, it's always being driven.
You don't have to own the car.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like it's, you know, if you're the one saying like, oh, well, the more I drive it, the more, you know, even if it's an electric car, you're adding to congestion on the road. And so, yeah, I think between ride sharing and these goals, I think that Lyft can do it.
All right.
I hope.
I like that optimism. You know, it's interesting to see how all of these different, you know, whether it's tech companies, whether it's ride sharing companies, whether it's automakers, are coming at this trying, you know, is it inevitable or not that we're going to have self-driving cars or we're going to have fully electric cars? We don't know. But it seems like that's where everything is going, and all of the excitement and the envisioning of what the future looks like kind of centers around those ideas. So it makes sense that Lyft would embrace this. And yeah, if you want to get the company rallied around something, making it public is a good way to do that. You know, especially when your major competitor is going through such strife.
Yep. Apple is getting more serious about original content. The company has hired 2 longtime Sony Pictures television executives to work to lead its video programming division. The execs have been responsible for critical favorites like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and The Crown. The iPhone maker plans to enter the already crowded market that includes not only the traditional studios, but also Netflix and Amazon. But none of these companies has what Apple has, over 1 billion of their own streaming devices already in people's hands and homes. So I really liked hearing the story after Planet of the Apps, which was pretty bad. Or not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
It was actually, I don't normally like those kind of Shark Tank or The Voice, or I don't really watch any of those.
If you like reality TV shows, if you like Shark Tank, then you'll feel right at home with it.
Right.
Planet of the Apps, right?
I guess so. Did you watch any of it?
I watched the first episode.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yeah.
I didn't even get that more than I watched. Is there more than one episode?
There's a second episode that just came out. Yeah.
No, I like iPhone apps, so I liked it, but I didn't, you know, I didn't like it enough apparently to watch the whole thing. But I really like Better Call Saul, and I really like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I, if they could do that, and if it's about iPhone apps, like a Breaking Bad, but like instead of making meth, they were making iPhone apps.
I hope they don't do that. I mean, what I like about what I like about this hire is those are stories. Those are traditional stories. So it is not like they're, you know, trying to fit in this concept of like what a great TV show or drama, right? A narrative drama is into like, you know, everybody's got to use a tablet or like everybody's got to use an Apple Watch or whatever. Then that would alter what has made these shows a success. So hopefully they don't do that. Sorry to disagree with you.
You're not gonna do, you don't think they'll do like a crown, but instead of like the queen. Oh, nice one.
Nice.
Instead of like a queen, it's like Tim Cook.
What do they call us here on the side? The
digital crown.
The digital crown.
The digital crown. Good one, Nate.
I'm sorry I mentioned that.
The digital crown.
I mean, like, you know, this is a totally different type of TV than Planet of the Apps, right?
I know.
You know, so it's like this is going to be going head to head with Netflix and Hulu on what give you a reason to subscribe to those those services, those streaming services, which is like, I got to watch House of Cards, or I really got to watch, you know, Mozart in the Jungle, or I really got to watch Transparent, or, you know, whatever your favorite show from, you know, those Hulu and Netflix and whatever. And it's interesting when they mentioned, you know, and they sent out like a press release for this hire, and I can't remember the last time I saw a press release for a hire from Apple. Usually it's about products or like, you know, hey, we bought Beats or something like that, right? But, you know, this is when they mentioned who, you know, the shows that they've worked on, they mentioned the shows that they worked on for Amazon, for Netflix, and for Hulu. Mm-hmm. So to me, that kind of signals, hey, this is a play for streaming video. And it's really exciting because we're kind of in this golden era of television where if you want to tell a great long story and you can take your time with it, if you're a director, if you're a writer, if you're an actor, it's like that's happening on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrick Ham has an addition to this story as well. I have to say, Patrick, your handwriting is so much better than Burke's.
Oh, this. I wonder if Burke's going to be watching this episode. So it's, yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, we'll see where it goes, and how this all fits in. But I mean, if you're going to try and compete in that space, this seems like a damn good hire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were rumors that they were trying to buy Imagine and Time mm-hmm. Warner. And I think this is also a signal, like, we're going at it alone. We're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watch out.
I'm excited for the future of TV. Mm-hmm. I really am. Well, a quick reminder that you can comment on anything we discuss by emailing tnt@twit.tv. And of course, you can subscribe to our shows like Tech News Today by going to our show page at twit.tv/TNT. After the break, I'm going to share a few of my favorite things from E3. No raindrops, no kittens. Let's take a minute to thank Blue Apron, the sponsor of this episode. Fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. Blue Apron sets the highest quality standards for their community of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious, home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. And by shipping the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, Blue Apron is reducing food waste, too. Their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They deliver to 99% of the continental U.S. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. I've got one coming to my doorstep this Saturday. I just got the email about it. I am excited. And you can customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Upcoming meals include warm smoked trout and asparagus, salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons, spiced zucchini enchiladas with creamy lime and tomato rice, elote vegetable tostadas with summer squash, poblano peppers, and cilantro rice, peached honey glazed chicken with mashed sweet potatoes, collard greens, and Thai basil. And you can check out this week's menu and get 3 meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TNT. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/TNT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right. Well, E3 is over, and it took nearly a week. It really felt like a long time. I'm a gamer, and I love E3. I look forward to E3 every year. Seeing new games announced, hardware previews, updates to blockbuster franchises. I love the whole thing, even when it does feel a little bit long like it did this year. But Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, EA, Ubisoft, dozens of indie game makers, they all come together and show you what they got. Well, collaboration, competition, creativity in one space. I love it all, but there are some hits and there are some misses. Let's get to it. I think Nintendo, actually, we're going to start with Microsoft and the Xbox. Microsoft announced the Xbox One X. It's a $500 game console. They say it's 40% more powerful than just about anything else out there, but it costs $500. I think it's a miss, and not only in the goofy name, but to price it so expensive. The PlayStation 4, which was $400, I think Sony had a miss in not cutting the price of that console down. Now, we'll see if the Xbox One X turns out to be a hit later, maybe in 3 years or so, when developers actually build some games that can fully take advantage of the promise of this hardware, 4K and HDR. we'll see where that goes. Nintendo, on the other hand, I think really, really does E3 right. Instead of filling up an arena and having executives parade on stage to show trailers, which is basically what Microsoft and Sony do, they just edit together the trailers in a special video package that anyone can watch online. And then at the show, they host esports tournaments where gamers can compete. And best of all, the winners of the tournament get to play those games against the people who make them, like the producer of ARMS, which just came out today, and if you own a Switch, you got to go buy that, or Splatoon 2, which is coming out in July, or Pokken Tournament, which is coming out, I think it's later this year or early next year. This makes the show floor in LA, and not just the keynote, a real event. And you can see here the winner of the ARMS tournament holding up the belt, handed to him by the producer of that game. After he won the tournament, he played the producer and the producer beat him, but it was an exciting exciting thing to watch if you're into esports.
Did you give that belt to Padre when he beat you in ARMS?
If I would have had one, gladly, but I did not have such a belt, and the belt I'm wearing keeps my pants up, so I'm not giving that one away.
Yeah, don't. That's okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about indies, because I love the indie space. I feel like You know what Madden's going to be like every year. You know what Halo's going to be like every time it comes out. You know what Mario Kart's going to be like every time it comes out. And I love those games, and that they're the same pretty much all the time. But indies actually challenge what a game is and what it means to be a game. So let's talk about a couple that I love here. The first one that we're going to talk about is called Donut County. And in this one, you can actually play as a hole in the ground that swallows up people and things in this world. It's a beautiful illustrated world full of pastel colors, neon colors, a nice flat art style. And the characters in this game are trying to figure out what's happening. Why are people and things disappearing? And they have their different theories that you get to chime into every once in a while. But you in the game control the hole, and you have to figure out why the hole is doing what it's doing as you're doing what it's doing. It looks really different, imaginative, and fun, and it's coming to iOS devices and Windows PCs. Another game that really impressed me that was shown off at E3 this year is called Yik. You can't see this, but if you could see Patrick's face right now, he looks as thrilled. Like, his face looks like how I feel inside right now. He's thrilled about that game.
I think it just might be the donuts. He really likes donuts.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of something else. And then we have Yik, which is being called a postmodern RPG. It takes place in the 90s. And it's about a woman disappearing in an elevator. Poof, she's gone. And a group of people team together to find out what happened. The characters have a hip, kind of hipster look to them. And they fight bad guys in a Japanese RPG turn-based style with weapons consisting of vinyl record players and film cameras. It looks like Ghostbusters mixed with Portlandia mixed with Final Fantasy. And I cannot wait to play this. This is coming to the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, the PlayStation Vita, which is Sony's handheld system, and PCs via Steam downloads. So, Megan, what do you think? I'm a big gamer. I got like all the consoles. Is any of this stuff making you feel like you got to go out and buy an Xbox or a Nintendo Switch?
No, it doesn't. But I am not a good. I mean, they're all very pretty, and I would watch them. I'd watch you play them.
Okay. You'd watch Padre beat me in ARMS again?
Yeah, I actually do have that. I have that YouTube video queued up on my TV, and every time I go just to watch it, because he's just punching the buttons.
And he's like literally running around. So last week's new Screensavers episode, look for it on YouTube, look for it on our website, and watch Padre. And I reviewed this game, and I said it's a must buy. And I was playing this for like a couple weeks. Nintendo gave me an early copy, and Padre still beat me on the second time he ever played.
Well, to be fair, you were doing a review of the game. Like that was your. Even trying to explain. Like, he forgot he was on television at all. Better. He was just like, you were like,
yeah, I was working. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for. Yeah, yeah. That's why I lost.
Yeah, there you go.
He literally. I was having a hard time just like not falling on the ground laughing. His arm flailing is the equivalent of butt mashing. With ARMS, you can play with a traditional controller as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That Patrick says that Holes game is just like Katamari.
Yeah, so in Katamari, you have an object and you pick up things by rolling over them. In this game, it's a similar ethos, maybe, I guess you could say. Mm. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, I'm not a gamer, but I do enjoy watching other people play games. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, and if you enjoyed that, you should definitely check out that segment.
Yeah, you should. Thanks for laughing at me. On air, in front of everyone.
Okay, so final E3 thoughts. I know so little about thoughts. E3 that when the notes I wrote E2 earlier.
It's fine. <You saw that? laughs> It's all good. Yeah, I had to skip over that in the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing. So it used to be a few years ago that, you know, like big names like EA or something would have like an event on, say, like a Sunday night. Microsoft had Monday, Sony had Tuesday, and then Nintendo would release their put together video on Wednesday. And then, you know, really the show was there for people in attendance to go and play games. And of course, for all these industry types to get together and like make business deals in back rooms where no journalists are around and stuff like that, right? Hey, here's a preview of my game, you know, looking for a publisher, looking for an investor, whatever. Now this year, you know, it felt longer because it was. I mean, I think it started like last Friday. There were events. There were, you know, Sony had something. I forget. It was like a Monday and Microsoft had theirs on a Saturday. And it just, it kind of drew the whole thing out. And not to belabor this point, but I don't think E3, and I love E3, I don't think it needs to be that long. And basically, since what they're doing on stage at these events is showing off trailers, you know, I love that Nintendo was doing, and they've been doing this for the last couple of years. They said, forget the big stage event. We're just going to cut up all the trailers together. We'll give you some more throughout the week, but we're going to give you something to show up and like watch, a spectator event, you know, something to participate in. It's a really fresh take on E3. And so I hope that this year Nintendo makes Microsoft and Sony rethink their approach to E3. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to happen, but I'd like to see that, because renting those arenas can't be cheap. You could probably save a little bit of money and, you know, throw an esports tournament. This is where everything's going. Esports is kind of one of the future points for this industry as a whole. You know, Major League Baseball is investing in esports teams. The NBA is investing in esports teams. You know, why not do some more of this? I think that would be a blast.
Yeah, I also think Microsoft could charge less for the Xbox One X. They could spend that money maybe on a naming expert, so they could name it Project Scorpio instead of Xbox One X.
Yeah, you know, it was called Project Scorpio as a prototype for like more than a year. That would have been cool.
It would.
All right, it's time for a little bit of feedback. Alicio Ramirez wrote about GIF versus GIF, and he says, why not call it GIF as it's spelled? I know it's less fun, but not every acronym needs to be said as a word, like FBI, FTC, ACC, MP3, or PNG. Do you ever call PNGs pings?
Pings, I do. Yeah, do sometimes. Yeah.
You know what? I think there's something to be said here. It's a little too late for the GIF versus GIF debate. That one's been raging for a long time now. But I think in general, I think Alicia's on to something there.
Mm-hmm. I'm on a month of GIF. Uh-huh. I'm not going back and forth. I'm just going to try GIF all month and see how it feels. See if I get as much feedback as I do when I say GIF and people tell me I'm wrong.
See, so. I was always saying GIF because, you know, when I started saying it, there was nobody around to tell me I was wrong. So I didn't hear I was wrong until a few years later, and I was already so entrenched in my ways. Mm-hmm. I've never looked back. Yeah, so I'm willingly wrong.
Okay, well, I'll see how I do this month, and then maybe I'll try GIF.
We'll
see. TNT's fan of the day is Becky, who says, my boys and I listen to TNT on our 45-minute commute. I love hearing their points of view as the next tech generation.
Ooh.
Thank you so much, Becky. I want to hear their points of view, too.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. They should start a podcast in response to our podcast.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Please let us know, especially if they say we're getting things wrong. And show us how you watch or listen to TNT, record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT and we will find it. The Samsara Smart Suitcase will notify you when someone takes it or opens it when you're not around. It also includes a built-in battery that lets you charge your phone, an LED light inside for packing or unpacking in the dark, and it is USB-C compatible, but according to The Verge, the only real reason to fund the Samsara Smart Suitcase Kickstarter is because of the material it's made of, an aluminum alloy that combines titanium, magnesium, and zinc, which makes it lightweight, durable, and fireproof. Also very stylish. I think it will cost you around $800, but you can get it for 42% off if you back the Kickstarter now.
Wow.
Do you need a smart suitcase?
Maybe. I do need some new luggage. I do need, you know, I'm the worst with this. I used to just like punch all of my clothes into a backpack and then like be like, why are they wrinkled? And then I actually bought like a duffel bag and I still don't like pack things right. Maybe I do need a smart suitcase. Maybe I do need something that will show me how to luggage the right way. But I got to say, all those mixtures of metals, maybe I'll just hold out for adamantium, when it comes someday. That day may never come. But no, it looks really handsome. I do like the idea of having like an aluminum looking piece of luggage because, you see like the cool movies, you see James Bond like walking around with that like aluminum suitcase or something. It's like, yeah, you know what? Like I want... That might not be the best thing for me going through the TSA checkout lines, but I feel like having an aluminum suitcase would be really cool. And here, this is obviously this little trunk's a little easier to carry around probably than that.
Yeah, it's...
Especially with its wheels.
It has wheels and also it functions as like a little laptop table. If you're not watching the video, wouldn't be able to see this. And yeah, I think it looks very cool. And of course, someone, PC Guy 8088, guaranteed to ship this century, ? That is always the big question with Kickstarters. It is overfunded.
Which is good.
Yes.
But they almost never, most Kickstarter projects don't come when they say they will. Hopefully this one will. Although, you know what? Like, if you travel a lot, I travel every once in a while. I used to travel more. And I have frustrations with, like, not being able to get to the outlet or whatever when my phone's about to die and I'm about to board a plane and my boarding pass is on my phone. And it just seems like, why doesn't every airline, why don't they have enough plugs in the darn waiting area? It's like they purposely restrict them and then they put them all on like this big post with a Verizon sign and you're like sitting there under the neon lights and you're like, So having your own little power pack in your luggage seems like it would be super helpful. And I'm saying that as someone who isn't a road warrior. I mean, if you're on the road all the time, this might be, and hey, it's not cheap, but even, it might be money well spent.
Yeah, I think for really nice luggage, 42% off at $400. I think that is a good price if you're into getting nice luggage. I also like how you turned luggage into a verb. You wanted to luggage.
I want to luggage the right way.
Yeah.
that's what I do. And it's nice to not have to worry about your stuff getting smashed. I will put my stuff in the overhead bin and I'll see someone put their bag on top of it and it just drives me nuts. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I might fund this just for you.
For fun. I'm going to fund it for fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, TNT records live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. And you can be a part of the show by emailing us at tnt@twit.tv or leaving us a short voicemail at 260-TNT-SHOW. You can also hit us up on Twitter at TechNewsTodayTV.
And share your thoughts. We know you have thoughts. Share them at the TNT subreddit about any of the stories that we discussed today, technewstoday.reddit.com. Find all the ways to subscribe to our show at twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me to tell me the games that I am missing, please do. I'm at Megan Maroney.
And I'm at Nate OG on Twitter. Thanks to our technical director and editor, Shark Boy, and Patrick for helping out in the studio. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see you Monday.